TV.
Well, once again, you're at MZTV, and if you are watching now instead of listening, you see I have a special guest in the studio. You have seen this gentleman here before. His name is Terry Clemens, but he is lovingly known as Young Terrence. He is from Ontario, Canada. He was here last year helping me with the run, and as you know, we made a couple videos about the pre-existence of Christ, and we really, boom, 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 gave the 1-2 punch to the Tories, didn't we? Against the ridiculous position of the non-pre-existence of Christ. Today, we are going to be talking about judgment, and we're going to be talking about how some, even in the body of Christ, are reticent. They're afraid to talk about judgment. They think that it somehow interferes with the salvation of all, or they just would rather talk about the consummation when God's all in all. They'd rather go, 18,000 years down the road and talk about time when God is all in all. But in the meantime, Terry, we have a lot that is talked about in the scriptures, and anyone who is actively involved in heralding must be glued to what is happening now during the Aeonian times. All in all is great, but it's a long ways away. So how do you like it here in the United States?
Oh, I appreciate the hospitality of America, and I often wish I was an American.
Oh, boy. Is this going to cause you trouble if the government hears you talking such language against it? Well, you're not against the Canadian government. I mean, it's your home country, but...
Yeah, you got to be more careful what you say nowadays in Canada.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. We used to be we had a lot of challenges against free speech in the last few years with the previous administration, but now the Canadians have taken the ball as far as trying to shut down free speech, huh?
Yeah, at this point, I kind of would like to see Canada cease to exist.
Okay, next topic, ladies and gentlemen. Let me save young Terrence from himself here. You're probably wondering, what's happening, Zender? Your sister was here, then she's gone. Now young Terrence is here from Toronto, and there's another gentleman here on the couch. I'm not going to turn the camera around, but his name's Greg Davis, and you know him. Well, just briefly, ladies and gentlemen, to give you the situation, when I told Maria that my sister was coming for 3 days, she suggested, she really wanted to go, my wife wanted to go to Peru, which I understood because, her mom's there, her son's there, and she needs a break. It's been a rough haul here, but she's wasn't willing to leave me by myself. She said, I will not leave you alone because she knows I'm terrible by myself, and I do not do well. So she graciously made sure that either my sister was going to be here or that I had some brothers here. And so it was a tough scheduling operation, but I managed to get my brothers, Mr. Greg Davis and young Terrence, here after my sister left. So they overlapped, and now I have company. Otherwise, I'd be doomed. You guys have been so gracious to come here, and we have great fellowship together, don't we?
Yeah, it's wonderful. And the walks we do, and we've taken some soaks in the pool, which is nice. Xander did that after his run the one day, and
yes.
Nice and cool, the water. It was nice chit-chatting. And
well, I like to spoil my guests, especially you guys. And I will say this, too. I'm going to say more about this in the near future, but I have been so stressed out and so anxious, like I've never been anxious before, over all these doctor's appointments. And even though my condition appears to be improving, my physical condition, that is, my mental condition has not been improving. In fact, it has been going downhill. And really, these gentlemen being here and my sister being here really saves me because I feel like I'm in a precarious place mentally. And it was so bad after my sister left, after Kelly left. I was such a spiral mentally that I realized the only two things would rescue me, that death or running. And so I decided tomorrow I'm going to run, almost like Forrest Gump, I just felt like running. I felt like running. So I just ran 12 miles the next day. I said, I'm going to run no matter what. I'm just going to run. And I did 12 miles a day after that. And I'm just going to run. It's the only thing that gives me my life back. Okay. There's a lot more to be said there, and I'll say it in the near future. But young Terrence and I, he said something yesterday that just like, boom, we got to make a show on that. And you said this, and I want you to explain it to our audience here. You said that I am actually looking forward to judgment. Now, you don't often hear anybody who believes in God say that, but judgment is, especially in the body of Christ, overlooked. It's a very important part of God's operation. Young Terrence, tell us, why did you say you're looking forward to judgment?
Well, I'm a big fan of judgment, and I think what proves my point is that's what God is going to do. And so it's necessary, it's very important, so we shouldn't just hang our hat at the consummation. I look forward to giving an account myself, and but you know, it's going to be, it's the world, it'll wake the world up. You know, there'll come a time when the world, everyone will know God exists and they won't be mocking him anymore. And there's, you know, there is so much evil in this world that maybe it's just a little bit, I wouldn't say it's a totally godly attitude I have, but I do kind of want to see, you know, phone scammers who laugh after they ripped someone out of their entire life savings.
Oh, God, yeah.
I do want to see them give an account, and it's discouraging when they don't give that account in this life, and it's comforting to know that they eventually will. Whether my motivations are entirely pure, I highly doubt it, but I'm just being honest. For me, I often think of judgment before I think of the salvation of all. And it does come first.
It does.
And God does find it necessary. God's the one doing it, so. And what's this saying? God says, don't take vengeance, that he will. What was that?
Yes. I think it's Romans. I think it's
that's comforting.
End of Romans 12. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Don't take vengeance into your own hand. Don't repay evil with evil, but repay evil with good, because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And you say that's a comfort.
Yeah, to know that God will deal with it all. All of the arrogant people down through the centuries will stand at the white throne. And to me, that's a great day. And Scripture backs it up.
All the arrogant people, where do they all come from? No, listen, I was writing down note after note after note when you were talking, because you brought up some huge points and you just ran right over them. They're so important. So while Terry was talking, the first thing he said was, I like judgment. I'm interested in it. I want it because it's what God wants. And it's obviously going to happen. I mean, that's a huge point. It's important to God. How do we know? Because he's mentioning it over and over again. The Matthew 25, the judgment of the nations. Or the great white throne, Revelation chapter 20. The lake of fire, Revelation chapter 20. Paul tells us to even judge among ourselves. And vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So if you're honest seeker and you're looking in Scripture, you say, oh my God, this is something God is going to do. So why shouldn't I be interested? Why shouldn't I want what God wants? Second of all, I want to really take every one of these one by one. There's so great points. You said it's personal. Like, you look forward to being exposed to God. And I do too. I've never really talked to anybody who has that disposition, but I think it comes from trusting God so much that you don't mind being naked and exposed before him. And you want him to search and seek into your deepest nooks and crannies to find anything that's opposed to God, and anything that's wrong or dark, and to remove it and to get rid of it. It's going to be a great relief. And so why wouldn't you look forward to it? But only someone who trusts God could look forward to that, man. That proves that you trust God. And then you talked about the scammers. You know, there's so many people in our audience. And tell me in the comments if I'm right about this. You have these hidden secret like vendettas, or you really have some segment of society, whether they are scammers who do rob people of their livelihoods and then laugh and then do the same thing the next day. And they just are so horrible, and all these other crimes. And I think many of you out there are almost frustrated that you believe in the salvation of all. And like, darn it, all these people are going to be saved. And there's part of you that wants to see justice. And so here's a guy who's brave enough to admit it. I want to see these scammers get what's coming to them. Dude, you're right along the line with the Apostle Paul at the end of his life in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, when he talks about Alexander the coppersmith. You know, going to get what's coming to him. This guy.
I didn't think of that. Yeah.
Right? Did you think of that?
No, I didn't even contemplate that. Yeah.
That's why we're here together.
Whatever. Yeah, very good point.
Yeah. I mean, in fact, I just want to read that verse because I've read it many times, but it never ceases to shock me. And 2 Timothy 4, this is Paul at the end of his life. Mr. Grace, Mr. Salvation of all, Mr. God is conciliated to the world. And he says this, like, five sentences before he gets his head chopped off. And who knows more about grace than this guy? He says, Alex, verse 14, 2 Timothy 4, Alexander the coppersmith displayed to me much evil. Hey, Paul, whatever happened to love is not taking evil into account, you know? And yet, what did I say the other day? If God doesn't work the love in you, you can't work the love out. So here's a guy who did not overween above what his disposition must be. And I'm sorry, but God did not predispose this guy to love Alexander the coppersmith. Apparently the guy did some terrible shit to Paul. Alexander the coppersmith displayed to me much evil. The Lord will be paying him in accord with his acts. What is that? Judgment.
Yeah.
Whom you also guard against, for he, very much as he withstood words of ours. And you also mentioned the arrogance of the world. It's gone out of hand.
Yeah, the world's opposed to God, and someday they'll realize God exists, and they'll have to give an account, and that's a good thing. There's any amount of injustice has been done by self-righteous, arrogant individuals, and we all can be that way. I'm not excluding myself. That's why I want to give account. Not that we're saved because of giving an account.
Right.
But I still want every person I've ever wronged and hurt, knowingly or unknowingly, I want that out in the open, and I want the people who I've hurt to know that God's taking that into account. And that'll be meaningful to them.
Yes.
Too. And I think you can love those that you still want to be judged, because I want to give an account. And, you know, I got a bit of flack when I suggested that I won't be ruling and reigning with Christ. But if God hasn't determined that, then I wouldn't want it any other way. And I want to read to you something Paul said.
Yes, please do.
Because I think this is important for believers to hear. For I have no one equally sensitive who will be so genuine solicitous of your concerns. For all are seeking that which is their own, not that which is Christ Jesus. He's referring, I believe, to Timothy.
Yeah, Timothy. Yeah.
And most believers are seeking after their own. I'm sorry, but we get more excited about a big screen TV we've dreamed about. When, you know, has $1 been spent by concordant believers on advertising in the last year? One ad taken out in a magazine, one billboard. A billboard might cost $500 a month. A new big screen TV, what would that cost? $3,000, let's say. You could put a billboard up for 6 months. I'm not saying it's wrong to buy a big screen TV, but we take too much. This world holds too much on the heart, and we're still seeking after pleasures. I think no more than 5% of believers will be ruling and reigning with Christ, and that might be awfully generous. Paul said, what did Paul here say?
For I have no one, he's talking to Timothy, you're correct, I have no one equally sensitive who will be so genuinely solicitous of your concerns, speaking of Timothy, for all are seeking that which is their own, and that which not that which is Christ Jesus.
And that's
Jesus.
Referring, I think, to believers.
People in the body. Yeah,
and
I agree, yeah.
And if Paul came back today, he may be impressed to know there's some believers around. But then he would say, what's that over there? You say a billboard. And he says, man, so how many billboards has the body of Christ put up? Are you allowed to put that up in your country? He would look at all the opportunities we have.
Yeah.
And then he would say, what, you've done nothing other than a few YouTube channels, which is great, but we're really doing next to nothing.
Yeah. Well, you're right. And, you know, if anybody has looked into Unsearchable Riches magazine, which is the magazine A.E. Knox started in 1909, there was a lot of people doing a lot. I'll never forget this picture of this guy. You remember in Unsearchable Riches, there was this picture of this guy with a Concordant mobile.
Yeah, yeah.
He converted
like
an
a
old
billboard. Yeah.
Yeah, he converted an old truck. It was like a moving billboard. And this guy just drove around the country like a nomad, like a John the Baptist type guy. and he advertises on the side of the truck was hand-painted, like, Concordant Bible, most literal translation. I mean, this guy was probably, if he was a nutcase in 1932, how much of a nut would he be today? And yet, you're right. I mean, I believe that when A.E. Nock died in 1965, he was the heart and the soul behind the Concordant Publishing Concern. That motivation to evangelize, to do something, to be in the game, to live during the Aeonian times and not just dream about the end of the eons, that's missing, man.
It is. That man who did that truck, the Mobile, or whatever it's called. Yeah. So he didn't dream about getting a Ferrari or a nice car. He dreamed of spending his money to spread the message. Yeah. And that's just not true of believers today. We dream about maybe getting a bigger swimming pool, a nicer car, which is important, especially if you have a family. I'm not knocking it, but I'm saying where the heart is. And it's certainly not with really in any serious way getting out the message. And that would be very evident to Paul if he came amongst believers today. He would be glad there's some believers, but then we would get a rebuke big time. He wouldn't be very impressed with us.
And we would want that. I would want that, especially from somebody like Paul. You know, I mean, of course, if Paul came in, I would love him to look at my channel and say, oh, wow, Zender, you got all these videos out and you wrote some books. That's fantastic. But where's the billboard? Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like we could all do more.
Other Christian groups put up billboards.
They put up nasty billboards.
They're doing it all the time, but you know, I can understand not knocking on doors, but you could put door hangers in the community you live in and invite them over to a Bible study in a nice way, and on the back have Salvation of All passages. And I'm speaking to myself too.
I understand.
But the reality is, very few, I believe, will be ruling and reigning with Christ, because for most of us, our bellies are our God and pleasure.
Yeah, let me go back to that, Terry, that you feel that very few of us will be ruling and reigning with Christ. I agree with you, and you know there's a controversy with a few people in the body of Christ. They think it's just awful and it's terrible if God treated some body of Christ members differently than other body of Christ members. Even though yesterday you were here, you were sitting on the chair over there when I was broadcasting, Paul says clearly that not every member of the body of Christ is the same. We all have different callings. We all have different dispositions. We all have different roles. Yeah. And yet, I believe, I'm going to ask you what your opinion of this is, but Paul seems to base ruling and reigning with Christ on suffering for his sake, yeah?
Yeah, there's that passage in Romans. I wish I had my Bible here. The allotment of God is for all believers.
Yes.
The allotment of Christ is for those who endure and suffer.
Yes.
And I think that's very clear from that Romans passage.
It is.
And while I don't believe I'll be ruling and reigning unless for the grace of God, I'll really be celebrating those that do. And I won't be jealous. I would be jealous now, but at that point, it's just going to be wonderful to see the real faithful ones receive their reward.
But isn't that something that you're here, and you've been a friend of mine for all these years, and you support me and my, and you are a friend of mine, and you've never forsaken me like other people have, like Greg. I can say the same of him. And I don't think that's nothing, because sometimes just supporting me, like I consider myself on the front lines, supporting me is something that keeps me going, apart from which, you know, like even Paul was mourning at the end of his life the people who had left him. Demas, verse 10, 2 Timothy 4, loving the current aeon, forsook me, went to Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia, Luke alone is with me. And it was important to Paul to have some friends and fellowship. And so if these guys are supporting Paul, I think that counts, as even though they might not be frontline suffering, but they're on the same team and on the same side of the guy who is frontline suffering. It counts.
And I think there's suffering that we are unaware of.
Yes.
I think that suffering can come from the adversary. So if you didn't believe the truth, maybe you would have had a much easier life, been married, And maybe the reason I'm single is because the adversary prevented it from happening, relatively speaking. So we don't know how much we suffer because we come even close to some of the great truths. And we don't agree on everything, but I do find it a privilege to, you know, once in a while put a smile on your face. And, you
like
know.
You just did just now. It's very rare for me to smile these days. This brings up a good point. I hadn't planned on talking about it, but you talk about like peripheral suffering. Like some people feel that their suffering doesn't count unless they're actively heralding the word and being ridiculed, or they're losing friends over the word, over preaching, teaching, trying to convince their loved ones. And there's many listening to us right now who have suffered that. But other people suffer what I would call maybe the common sufferings of humanity. Maybe they're ill, or they're just depressed for whatever reason. But I'm starting to, I wonder if, as you say, they're close to the body, they're close to the word of God, they're close to being changed, they're close to being snatched away. And I believe that Satan is more after those people who are close to the word of God, and so he wants to discourage them in any way he can. So I think what those things which many would consider common sufferings, oh, this doesn't count, you know, I only banged my head on the cupboard or whatever, that doesn't count. But if you're close to the word of God, and if you're helping people who are close to the word of God, for instance, if you're helping me or you guys just traveling here, going out of your way to be here to comfort me, to keep me company while my wife is away, you know, to keep me from dunking myself in the swimming pool three times and only coming up twice, that counts. And any suffering, any travel hassles like you had, it counts. I think that counts as suffering evil for the evangel.
Yeah, my flight was canceled. I was sitting there getting ready to go on the plane, and then bad weather in New York. So that was kind of frustrating. I do think those, you know, bubbles out of us, even if we're timid. And I'm a relatively timid person, but still, once in a while, I just can't help myself, and I got to tell someone about the salvation of all. And that irritates the adversary, and I do think we are kind of punished for it. I do think, honestly, I think my life would have been easier in one way if I hadn't believed it. Yeah. And I think for a lot of you listening, you maybe don't realize how much of the struggle and suffering you've gone through in life is due to that as well.
Yes.
I had a friend who was really getting into all of the truths and the salvation of all. And I started thinking, I wonder if the adversary is going to break apart our friendship, and it happened. Wow. And I won't explain what happened. I take much of the blame for it. I don't do very well with when something occurs. I tend to just back away and go quiet. But I see that as the adversary that ended the friendship, because he was just glowing with joy about the salvation of all. And his life was being transformed. And a few years later, he died. And I see that as the adversary having gotten in the way. And that's just a suffering I think about it pretty well every day, about that lost friendship.
Yeah.
And I think that was just what happened, stuff like that, when you are spreading a bit of the truth. Because few people talk about the salvation of all. But I'm just saying we shouldn't hang our hat on it. And it might turn some people away from accepting the truth if they don't hear that there is a judgment. It reminds me of what the Tories do. They think, well, the belief in the preexistence of Christ leads to the Trinity. Well, you could say belief in the judgment leads to the belief in eternal conscious torment. But there really isn't a connection. Mm-hmm. You can believe in the salvation of all and the judgment. You can believe in the preexistence of Christ, but not accept the Trinity.
Yeah.
So that's just an example I wanted to bring in there.
Right. You know, and I want to pursue this. We're running short on time now, but I want to pursue this tomorrow. I love the topic we got off on, suffering evil for the evangel, and what kind of disposition. It really ties into what I've been saying, this disposition, either you have it or you don't. But I want to talk more tomorrow. If you wouldn't mind joining me again tomorrow, I want to talk about this idea of how we present the evangel to other people, because a lot of time we leave out judgment. And judgment, as you said at the beginning, God wants it. God talks about it. He
I think it's important to the presentation.
It is vital. It's vital to the presentation.
Doesn't Paul talk about the judgment of humanity according to his evangel somewhere? So yeah. He connects his evangel to actually the coming.
Yeah, I think it's the end of Romans. I'll write that verse down so we can talk about it tomorrow. I think he says, God will judge the world according to my evangel.
I think he talks more about judgment than the salvation of all, even the Apostle Paul.
Say that again.
I think Paul himself even talks more about judgment than the salvation of all, or it would be quite close, I think. I might be wrong. I haven't really tested it out, but he does definitely, you know, fury, affliction, and distress upon workers of unrighteousness.
People don't like to read these verses. I know people in the body of Christ, they shy away from these hard verses because, again, they hang their hat or hang their hammock at the consummation. They just want to talk about all in all. They just want to, like, act like we're already in the all in all, and there's nothing wrong with anticipating it and loving it. But such individuals who just totally take the absolute viewpoint and they don't want to hear anything about the struggle, whatever, they're not intended, like I said yesterday, they're not intended to fight the fight.
God is referred to as the Aeonian God.
Yeah.
And we're living in the eons. So eventually all in all will occur and we'll move past the eons. But God is even referred to as the Aeonian God.
God, you're giving me so much material.
And, you know, I hope it brings encouragement to others when I say I don't believe I'll be ruling and reigning. Don't feel discouraged if you realize you're not really doing what you should be doing. All of us are where God wants us to be. And at the, you know, at the dais, we're not going to be jealous of those that receive the rewards. We're going to, God likes to have celebrities. And those of us that are a little bit lower down from the celebrity status will enjoy. I'll enjoy having no one. I believe I've met a few people who will be ruling and reigning with Christ, and I'll be bragging about that probably for all of eternity. People will be saying, "You met Dean Huff, you met Martin Zender," and I'll say, "Yeah, I did." You know.
Do you like the idea? I mean, are you okay with it? You're okay with, like, not ruling and reigning? Like, you don't really want to. It's not your disposition.
It's like with anything else. All is out of God. I don't like the fact that I'm not married.
Really?
I don't like the fact that I have a belly. I got to lose weight. There's lots of things I don't like about my life. Half the time I wish I wasn't alive. But in the end, more and more I have the peace that all is out of God. And at that point, as I said, I would be jealous now of the rewards coming to some people, but then I won't be, because we're going to be changed.
Yeah, we're going to be changed.
And then we're going to enjoy seeing A. Enoch stand up on the dais and the Apostle Paul. And it's not meant for everyone. So we are meant to have peace about it ultimately.
Man, that is a beautiful correspondence with everything we've been saying this week about the disposition. People are meant to have the disposition. They're not meant to have... Young Terrence, that is such a mature testimony that you've given today. I know it's not contrived. We didn't talk about anything. All I heard him say today was, "I'm looking forward to judgment." I said, "Stop right there. Okay, will you make a show with me on that topic?" And I swear to you, folks, we did not discuss anything. We started to. I said, no, we're going to do it live. We're going to do it spontaneously. We're going to let the Holy Spirit run the show. And wow, that testimony I just heard from you is such a mature spiritual testimony. I can't get enough of it.
You know me well enough to know that probably what I look forward to most during the day is a cigar walk. I keep leaving the apartment for another cigar walk.
Yes, you do. That's your disposition. He has a disposition to light a cigar and take a walk. And Paul would love it. And I have a feeling if Paul was here, he'd say, "Hey, can I join you on a cigar walk? What do you got? All right. Because this was so good and because I loved this so much and because, boy, we got so much more to talk about on judgment. And as this guy's talking, I'm just taking note after note after note. We will explore this topic further tomorrow. Thank you for being with us, and we'll see you next time.